Hello and welcome to the Nashville Daily Podcast. I'm Stuart Deming.
And I'm Aaron Pennington. We hope you guys had a fantastic weekend.
We do.
And today's, and frankly, this week is going to be pretty cool because 2021 was full of incredible interviews that we had. We had some amazing people here in the studio. What's even better than interviews we've had in the past is we haven't been able to capture them on video.
Yes.
And these interviews that we're going to be bringing you throughout this week, not only are they some of our favorites from this year, but we've been able to bring them to you with video here in our new studio. And so this week, that's what this week is going to be about, is bringing you those experiences of some of our favorite interviews throughout 2021. And you may be thinking that our background's a little bit different right now. And
I was trying to let you guys see it.
Stuart, you've got the cold for the north.
Yeah.
And I've got fire because
it's hot in this studio right now.
So this is just not, it's not a random background. This background is actually a handmade work, handmade canvas, actually two handmade canvases, I believe.
Yes.
From our good friend, Justin Siegel. And earlier this year, he came into our studio and talked with us. He's been an incredible artist here in Nashville, and he came in here and just blew us away with his story and how he began his journey in creating, kind of his philosophy to creating, and really just how open he was with, you know, what he's doing and what he wants to do in the world.
And he recently just hit 1 million followers on TikTok. So congratulations, Justin. This interview is one of the only interviews I believe I truly teared up in 2021. And I definitely teared up afterwards as well.
All right. So without further ado, here's that interview with Justin Siegel.
Hello and welcome to the Nashville Story. I'm Stuart Deming.
And I'm Aaron Pennington.
And joining us in studio today is Justin Siegel, who is a live performance artist. He's been in the arts most of his life.
So Justin is in studio today. His paintings have been creating a wave on social media recently. And one of the coolest things that he does, he creates a 5-foot painting in just a matter of minutes. And he's very skilled. We're very lucky to have him today on the Nashville Story. Let's get into the interview. Justin Siegel, thank you so much for coming on the Nashville Story today. We're really excited to hear about what you do.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I found you somehow. Okay. On our explore.nash page. I think it was with your Nashville photography.
Probably on my main page.
Yeah, on your main page. And I think I actually messaged you about 2 years ago to come on the podcast. This is like right when we were starting the podcast. It had to be almost 2 years ago. And I messaged you, and I don't think you ever saw it, but that's okay. But
We were babies.
We featured a few of your photos on our account, and I think that's how I started following you. But then I've seen your creative journey over the last 2 years.
Wow.
And it's been a heck of a journey.
Yeah, it has. Oh, my gosh. You've been with me for those 2 years.
Yeah, I've been from the Explore page. I've been following your personal account, and then I think I started following your art account.
Yeah, I just saw you guys follow my art account today because I thought we had been messaging through my personal account.
I have no idea what account we've
been following. Yeah, who knows?
But your art account, man. We're going to talk more in depth about this.
Sure.
But can you tell us your story in the creative arts and how it all started,
dude? Where do I start? So I guess I loved art growing up in school, and like, art was my favorite subject, right? Art and math, which like those two don't really mix, you don't think?
Did you paint by numbers?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all the time. Yeah. My grandmother would get me a book and I would just like go ham on it. But I remember her buying me a set of like, I forget who the artist was, but it taught you how to paint flowers with like and single brush strokes.
Oh, wow.
It was the coolest thing. Like, you dip multiple colors of paint on one brush, and you just do it, and it's like, boom, there's a tulip. Wow. And I got obsessed with that for a while. And then, like, throughout the years, I just kept doing art, was into it. But it was like, I saw art as a hobby. It wasn't something that was going to make me money one day. It wasn't something that I could, like, live off of and sustain off of.
Did you grow up in, like, a big city or a small town? Or
I grew up right outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, actually.
Where more specifically?
Eastgate.
Okay.
Do you know where that is?
No, I'm from Kentucky, so I didn't know if you came in on that Kentucky side or not.
Well, I was born in Kenton, Kentucky.
Okay.
Because that was, like, I guess where my mother's physician was or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I was born on Turkey Foot Road in Kenton, Kentucky, which sounds like the most hick thing possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, being in Cincinnati, we all made fun of people in Kentucky, and it's just the way it was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, Kentucky's too worried about Tennessee. Tennessee's too worried about Kentucky.
Oh, it just filters down, man.
Yeah, 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 it does.
And then Tennessee makes fun of Alabama and Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Louisiana.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. The Carolinas. Just put them all in there, man.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so grew up in Eastgate. And then it wasn't really until we moved from Ohio, the middle of my sophomore year of high school, we moved to Houston, Texas. So a bigger city. I went from a school of like 1,400 kids to a school of 4,000 kids.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It was nuts, man.
That's a jump.
And it looked like a prison. I hated it. It was awful. It was like three stories tall.
It's Houston, Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's bigger in Texas, man. They're not lying.
It looks worse. Yeah.
And so I went from being in Art 1, Art 2, Art 3, Art 4. That's what it was in Ohio.
Okay.
To this school, like, you could choose a specific thing. So you could do digital graphic design, or you could do painting, or you could do drawing.
Oh, that's
or you could
amazing. Do sculpture.
Yeah.
Because they had so many students, they were able to justify that.
Exactly.
Wow. That's,
yeah.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah. They could expand their arts program like that. And I was in a performing arts high school. So, like, gym was dance.
That's awesome.
You didn't have traditional gym. And so it was super dope. But I got into painting. I'd never painted before that. Well, not like seriously.
Just the tulips.
Right? Just the tulips.
Yeah.
And then other than that, it was like sketching and drawing. And then I messed around with like paper mache stuff for a while, but like seriously painting, I didn't. And so I was like, yeah, let's do painting. And the teacher there really like helped me understand what painting could be. Fell in love with it. I did this one portrait. I remember it vividly. I think my mom still has it. It's like three portraits of myself in one painting. And I did it with coffee.
That's cool.
It was like a watercolor, but coffee was the only color.
Yeah.
And so it was super, super dope. And then we were only there for a year. I moved to Griffin, Georgia, which is just outside of Atlanta.
Okay.
45 minutes south of Atlanta. I call it the armpit of Georgia. I call it the armpit of Georgia. And so I went back to a school of like 1,200 kids from a school of 4,000. A lot smaller town. Everybody grew up together.
And they didn't have painting.
No, they didn't. Yeah, yeah. No. But they had AP art. And so I took AP art. And that teacher was like all about finding your uniqueness. She wasn't really like skill or technique based. It was more like, hey, I'm just going to throw a bunch of stuff at you and see what sticks.
Mm.
And so I got to try a bunch of different like mixed medium stuff, like where you rip paper up and put it down and then you paint over that and then you draw over that. And then you like flame it somehow, you know, I don't know. You just get weird with artwork. And it was my senior year that I discovered this guy on Pinterest, actually, because I use Pinterest as my inspiration. And he'd been on America's Got Talent. So that's when I started watching America's Got Talent.
Oh, I know a guy you're talking about.
David Garibaldi.
Yeah. Yep.
And he would paint these paintings in like seconds.
Wow.
Yeah. Like 60-second paintings of Elvis and then flip it over.
And flip it over, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to try that because it was something new and exciting, like something that I could work towards. And I've always been the type of person that like gets obsessive over something and then just like goes full steam ahead into it. Like I'm not going to just give something part of myself. And so I discovered him and I was like, I'm going to go full into this. And so for like a year, I watched his videos, dissected his videos, and I actually got out of high school and went into culinary.
Wow.
I was a baking and pastry major for my first year of college.
Whoa, no way.
That's fun. That explains all your photos on your personal account.
There it is. Yeah. Yeah, all the food photos. Yeah. Because it's still a love of mine. Like, I feel like food and cooking and baking is still a piece of like artwork. And so I loved my first semester there, but I was still like figuring out this performance art thing. What is it? Like, how does he do it? How do you make a painting in minutes and you're this close to it? Like, how does that work?
And it's upside down.
And it's upside down.
That's my like, biggest
it's
question.
Just, it's insane, man. And so throughout my culinary journey, the first semester was great. Had a lot of creative freedom. The chef I had would give us like a criteria like ravioli, right?
So kind of like what's the show where you have that secret ingredient and you have to bake with it and cook with?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They would give you
chopped.
One. Yeah,
chopped.
Yeah. They give you one thing to work with and then you have to work around that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was like, here's the ravioli dough recipe. Go for it. And so my weird creative brain was like, I want to make it sweet. Mm. I don't want to make a traditional ravioli with like a mushroom filling or something. No, bump that. And so I added brown sugar to the dough, cinnamon.
You do a Nutella ravioli?
No.
Because that would be incredible.
I didn't. Well, I did later. I did like a Nutella banana ravioli thing. It was nice.
Mm.
It was very nice. But this time I did a cranberry cream cheese filling.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I did that, had the sweet dough, and instead of boiling them, I fried them off.
So it's kind of like a dumpling.
Wow. Like a cookie.
Yeah,
it ended up being like a little sugar cookie with filling, and then I made like a chocolate drizzle to go on top, and it was pretty good. But all that to say, had that kind of creative freedom first semester. Second semester, I had a French chef who was like...
Very strict.
French chefs are like, they're douchebags.
They're the French
man. Exactly. And you're going to do things my way, by the book, by the recipe, or I'm going to make you do them that way. Like, you can't deviate whatsoever.
Wow.
And it was intense, but I realized, that's when I had the realization, that was going to be like my first 10 years in the industry.
Yep.
Following someone else's recipe to a T,
yep.
Taking their orders, and I wanted my creative freedom. And so that's when I really like fell head over heels for this performance art thing. And, I got my first gig at a Methodist church for their Monday-Thursday service, which is like the week of Easter.
Okay.
I'd never been to a Methodist church before this, so I didn't know what to expect. But got it through my art teacher from high school, and she had set it up. It was great. It was like my first paid gig. It wasn't that much. It was like enough to cover materials.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, no, I wanna try this thing. Let's do it. And so I tried the Jesus painting upside down in like 3.5 minutes and flipped it over when I was done.
Is that the one that's like your largest TikTok to date?
Yeah, that painting. Except it didn't look like that painting.
Okay.
Because this was, oh gosh, man, what? This was almost 8 years ago at this point.
Okay.
It looked like trash. This video is still on YouTube. My mom did it with her flip, like she videoed it with her flip phone.
Yeah.
There's a giant candelabra in the way half of the time. I slipped in the middle of it because that's before I learned that like paint
goes
makes
on the floor.
Tarp slippery.
Yeah.
And I started doing carpet after that, but I had tarp and I slipped in the middle of the performance. But still, despite that, and despite the fact that I hate the painting now looking at it, the service was very regimented, right? Because it was very liturgical.
Yeah.
And so you stood up, you repeated words, you sat down, you stood up, you sang a hymn, you sat down.
Methodist is almost an exact middle between like a Baptist service and a Catholic service.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
And because this one was part of Holy Week, it was very... I think it leaned more towards the Catholic side, towards the liturgical side.
Except you just stand up instead of like having to go kneel.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so... After my painting was done and when I flipped it around, it was the first part of the whole service where I heard people erupt in praise outside of what was written down and what should be said and what could be said. And that was incredible for me because it was like that wasn't about me. It was the first time I kind of saw that like my artwork could be not only a ministry, but it held value in people's eyes. Mm. And it could potentially be a business one day. And so I ended up transferring from culinary school to Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee.
Yep.
And went for artwork. Ended up picking up a theology minor and minored in graphic design. And
that's awesome.
And so then, I don't know, from there, I was traveling a little bit doing my artwork. It was hard in college to travel to churches and do this thing because that was kind of my in, right? My dad was a children's pastor. in the Church of God. And so he had some connections, and I was able to paint at some churches through that and then build my own connections from there. But churches was kind of it. And so this church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, invited me to come out. One of the girls had went to Lee, saw me do something at Lee, artwork related, and was like, hey, I would love for you to come do your performance here. We're trying to add some elements to our service outside of what we do. I was like, yeah, I would love to. And so I came, had lunch with her and her brother the day before, and they were just asking me about what my plans were after college, because this was my graduating semester. And I was like, yeah, I'm looking. I've been applying to graphic design firms, like creative firms, because that's kind of what I want to do. And that's still where my mind was at. I was like, artwork can't pay the bills. Like, David did it, but he's an anomaly. David Garibaldi made it in the performance art industry. Everybody else I see, like, is kind of just fumbling their way through. And so graphic design was going to be the moneymaker. So I told them about that. Like, oh, that's cool. We actually just had a graphic designer quit at our church. And I was like, okay, that's cool.
Coincidence.
Yeah, dot, dot, dot. And,
cool, not thinking about that position at all.
Yeah, yeah, no, not at all. Well, I didn't want to work for a church, man, because I saw my dad work for a church for most of my life. And church is great. Church also has a lot of problems, I think. The American church has their issues, and it can get really political, and it can hurt a lot of people, and I just didn't want a part of that. And my view of church was probably skewed because of that. So all that to say, I didn't want to work for a church. I wanted to work for a graphic design firm. And so I performed the next day on that Sunday. They had two services, and did first service, went amazing. In between first and second service, I'm sitting on the front row getting ready for the next service to start. And the pastor comes over to me. This is the first time I've met him.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, my name is Eddie Turner. Nice to meet you. I'm the pastor here. I was like, oh, nice to meet you, sir. Thanks for having me out. He's like, what you did for a service was phenomenal. I hear you do graphic design. And I was like, yeah, I do. He goes, okay, awesome. Well, we're looking for a graphic designer. And if you'd like to apply, just send Jenna. Jenna was my connection with Lee.
Sure.
Send Jenna your resume and we'll talk. And just walked away. And I was like, okay, like, what am I supposed to do with this information?
Paint. Send them your resume.
Yeah, exactly. So I ended up doing it. Like,
paint your resume.
Yeah, just paint it up. Yeah. And so throughout the course of interviewing with them for the next few months, I ended up taking the job in February of 2018 and was communications director, was the ultimate title after everything. And I didn't know what that meant at the time because I was just a graphic designer applying for a graphic design job. And he goes, no, you're the communications director. I was like, what does that mean?
Hopefully that means you make a few more dollars.
Well, yeah. But also he's like, I don't know, figure it out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And
again, you walk away with, what am I supposed to do with this information?
What am I supposed to do? But it was cool because built into the contract was I get one Sunday off a month outside of vacation time to go and paint somewhere.
That's actually awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
You won't see that in a lot of church contracts.
No. They want you there when they have service. And so it was really cool because that told me his heart was to help develop me and my future and what I was wanting to do.
Yeah.
Because he knew ultimately painting was what I want to do full time. And so he was willing to give up a Sunday having me there and let me go do what I feel like, I don't know, my heart, my passion is.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so it was super dope. And so from there, I would take that Sunday if I got the Sunday. If not, like if the gig ended up falling through, I would just stay at church. But I don't know, I got to kind of spread my wings from there.
Yeah.
Do a couple different things, work with some brands. I ended up working with the apartment complex that I lived at was LC. Lifestyle Communities.
Okay. Yeah.
They have the goat and everything.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I was like, LC the goat. So familiar. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So they had their location in Murfreesboro. That's where I ended up moving in. When I got the job, they opened up a location in Germantown.
Sobro, Mount Juliet. They have a few locations.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And they were opening up the one in Germantown my first year here. Somehow they heard that I did artwork through their staffing. And they're like, hey, we're looking for somebody to paint a mural in this like ping pong area that we're doing.
Nice.
And I was like, I would love to. And so ended up doing that mural. Through that, I ended up doing a mural at an Amazon distribution location.
That's cool.
That's really cool.
Outside of Murfreesboro. And so, like I said, I started spreading my wings outside of the church world. And then really, like, where the big push, I guess, happened was during quarantine. I ended up getting COVID in May of last year. And I was like, you know what? I need to give my painting a shot. Like, I need to stop letting it play the background, and I need to just go for it. We were working from home, and so every day at 5 o'clock, once, like, my time at church ended, I closed my laptop, I went to the studio, and I would just start painting. And I would film those videos on my phone because I didn't want it to be fussy. I didn't want it to be like a full production. And would just cut them up and post them. And at first, like, I would get a hit here, a hit there. But it was really the one of Jesus that ended up taking off. It was my last day in quarantine. I posted that video.
Wow.
And on my way to the store to restock on groceries, I look at my phone once I got to Kroger, and it was like 30,000 likes.
Oh my God. What was your immediate thought when you saw that?
My immediate thought was, holy crap. Like, I don't, what do I do with this? But then my next thought was, I don't have a website.
Did you go build a website?
I did that night.
Wow.
I stayed up building a website, but before that, I had an eBay account, and I was like, okay, I'm going to throw the piece on eBay because I saw multiple comments like, I want to buy this, I want to buy this, I want to buy this, I want to buy this. And I was like, oh my God, it's happening. Like, the thing that I thought could happen for a long time that I've been pushing towards is actually happening. And so threw it up on eBay. I threw another Jesus painting that I just had sitting in the closet, took a picture of that, threw it up on eBay. And then, spent the night, I stayed up pretty much all night building my website out, getting my own email account that didn't say Gmail. It was
Your phone just blowing up at all at the same time.
I had to turn off TikTok notifications. That was the moment where I was like, I got to turn these off.
Wow.
And so it was nuts. It was another one of those moments. Like, it wasn't the Methodist church that I was reminded that people saw value in what I did. And it wasn't just like a gimmick. It wasn't just something cutesy that I wanted to do, right? Like, it wasn't just a fever dream. Like, it had value in people's worlds. And so then I rode that wave, man, and kept going at it. And here we are today. So
that's crazy.
That's a great introduction, man. Literally, your introduction knocked out three of our questions. I'm like, oh, this is great.
Oh, my gosh. Was it at that moment where you're like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to paint. And did you have a thought like, all right, I guess I'm just doing TikTok like 24/7?
Yeah, I did. But I also knew, I'm trying to figure out how to word this. I also knew the involvement that was required of me on a day-to-day basis with my full-time job.
Yeah.
And so at first it was like, how can I brand myself outside of what I do full-time?
Right.
And then how can I sustain that like it's a full-time job? The answer is you can't, it turns out. You hit a wall and it doesn't look too pretty. And so... basically my decision after that was, okay, this is fueling me. This is great. After work every single day, I'm going to come home and either edit or paint. Like, that's the goal. And I felt this pressure to do it every single day because at the time it was like, the algorithm needs you to post every single day. And I'm like, that's great. But what I do takes a lot of like preparation.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Because it's not like you just have to hold up your phone and do, talk for 60 seconds something. You have probably, out of a lot of the TikToks that people see, you probably have some of the biggest time preparation and time spent working on a piece for that one 15 to 30 second, 60 second video.
Right. I would say outside of the cooking niche, like TikTok, they put in a lot of work, but also they're cooking meals for themselves and their families.
Oh yeah, so they're like eating it immediately.
Yeah. They're providing something that they already need. Now, granted, the shots and everything take more work and probably, I don't know, make the process longer of cooking that one meal.
I was going to say a lot of them. I don't know how they do it while holding their phone. That seems like the hardest part.
Yeah. They have the newer arm that goes right over.
This with the little mount on it.
That's exactly how it is. I wouldn't be surprised if some of these TikTokers are using Blackmagic and they're just switching cameras like that. I wouldn't be surprised.
No. I saw there's a dude I follow, Sad Poppy. I started following him from his early days on TikTok before he started cooking. He was a line cook that was just like posting angsty stuff. And then from there, he started cooking on TikTok. And now he's got like brand sponsorships with aprons and whatnot. I mean, it's incredible. But he posted his story today, actually on Instagram, saying how he started out with an iPhone 4 a year ago. And now he's got this full setup with a couple different cameras. And
yeah.
He probably is like switching.
Yeah. So I was really struggling with doing it every single day. And I was like, you know what? 3 paintings a week, I'm gonna try to stick to that. I'll make one night where I paint everything. And then throughout the course of that week, I'll edit and post.
Yeah.
And that'll be it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like Instagram Reels came in. And so I was trying to like double post those. And now we have shorts on YouTube. And so I'm trying to figure out that world.
Yep.
So I was going 3 paintings a week. Then I got connected with this dude who started doing spin art.
The drills.
Yeah, the drills.
It's amazing how much artwork is. I love all the artwork on TikTok. I've seen people who do that. The guy who does it with the drill.
Yep.
Even this guy who does this kind of blotch ink art where he lets ink spill on his paper and he draws figures around that.
Oh, that's amazing. There's a woman who takes her child's scribbles and then makes portraits out of them.
Wow.
And uses the scribbles as like a mat for the portraits. It's bonkers, man. Yeah.
I love that.
Amazing. And so I got connected with him, and he's like, you need to do a series. Like, series is what's blowing up right now. And he showed me a couple accounts that had done that. There was a dude who like did Grinch in different styles. So he used like Simpsons as a cartoon style. He used... Who's the dude that does like angsty Disney movies?
Burton.
Yeah, Tim Burton. Tim Burton was a style and like so on and so forth. And so
I've seen those. Yeah.
Exactly. And so that series, I mean, just blew him up to 1 million followers. I was like, okay, because I kind of felt stale there for a while. I was like, I'm going to do a series for Christmas.
Dude, your series for Christmas. My wife found you by accident with your series for through your series of Christmas. Yeah. And literally every single day, we looked forward to watching. Like, I think she found you on day 1 or day 2. And we looked forward to your series to watch it every single night together.
See, that's crazy to hear. Like, that, it's amazing. And I would go live when I'm doing these, too. And
that's really cool.
People got an in on the process.
Wow.
And seemed to really love it. But then, like, throughout the course of me going live while I was painting, this community developed outside of myself. Because I'm not talking to them. I'm painting.
So everybody in the chat's just hanging out talking.
They're hanging out with each other.
Yeah. Huh.
And then, like, I stopped doing live for a while, and I haven't been live for a minute right now because I'm kind of at a crossroads. But I would get comments like, hey, when are you going to go live again? I miss everybody.
Mm. Whoa. I'm
like, yo, that's
crazy.
Yeah. And I'd never thought that through my artwork I would find a community that kind of just built itself.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So the Christmas series, I think dang near killed me. Like,
oh, dude, I don't know how you did it.
Yeah, I don't know how I did it either. Really?
We do 6 episodes a week.
Yeah.
You're painting. You did 25 paintings of her Christmas.
Yeah, all we have to do is sit here and talk. Like, yours is much more involved.
Yeah. A painting a day from December 1st to December 25th. And it was bonkers. The last one of that, I was really the only one that I loved because I got to do it outside in the snow.
And we literally have a question. Where in Tennessee did you find snow?
Where in Tennessee?
Yeah.
I was praying for that snow, dude. Like, legitimate. Well, yeah, I don't think it's a spiritual thing. I don't think God answered my, you know, he might have.
What will help his TikTok?
Snow. Legit. Well, because I know.
But the fact that it happened.
And it happened at the moment that I was wanting to paint this.
Yeah.
So my family lives in Florida. They live near Fort Lauderdale. And we've only always done Christmas in Florida since I've been out of the house. And I was like, you know what? This year, let's do Christmas up here in the mountains. Let's go to Gatlinburg. Like, okay, well, that was a whole debacle. My dad booked a Vrbo. Is that how you say
it?
It's like an Airbnb. Pictures looked amazing. And it said cabin. We get up there, and it was like a shanty.
Oh, no.
It was not a cabin.
Wish.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, the molding was chewed up by some animal at some point in time on the inside. It wasn't great.
It was not, like, a Christmas perfect picturesque.
No, but, you know, we're cabin. With family, and so yeah, I was like, yeah. I'm here for this. Let's do this. And okay. So we started unpacking everything, put everything in the fridge, was ordering in pizza for the night from Mellow Mushroom, and then the power went out because a storm was coming through Gatlinburg.
Oh.
Yeah. And there was no backup generator, and we couldn't get a hold of the person who was renting this place out.
Yeah.
So it got real sketchy real quick. There was no firewood provided either.
Oh, that's annoying.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we didn't know where to get firewood because we were at the top of the mountain.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep. On this sketchy road. And I have a 4Runner that only has front wheel drive.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't want to get stuck.
No.
Going anywhere. Down the mountain.
Anywhere, man. Especially on a mountain with some sketchy roads. And so we made the decision to go down the mountain and get a hotel room. So we did that.
I think that's a great decision.
It worked out well. And my dad ended up getting his money back. It wasn't without a fight, but so we ended up getting a hotel room. That next day, I planned on filming so that I could post on Christmas Day. And I had the canvas in the back of my 4Runner ready to go. I just had to stretch it out over PVC pipe because that's how I do it mobily, right?
Gotcha.
I build the frame out of PVC.
Oh, okay.
I gaff tape it around the frame.
Wow.
That way I can take it off, roll it up, send it,
okay.
Whatever.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yep. And so had that ready to go. We got back from dinner the next day and the roads were getting covered. And I was like, now's the time. Like, we got to do this. So we get back to the hotel room. My parents go up. I have my sister in the car with me. She's my cameraman. She doesn't do camera work. She's an OTA, man. Like, she has never used a camera in her life. And I was like, just make sure I'm in focus. I was like, the red lines that outline me, that's what you need to know.
Yeah.
And she goes,
yeah, because that was filmed with like a, not just a phone, like a real camera.
It was filmed with an A7 III with a manual focus lens.
Yeah.
With a Cine lens. And it was all handheld.
Wow.
And, yeah. And she did a phenomenal job.
She did great. You would have no idea.
Yeah. Exactly. I was very, very impressed with her work, but went out there. And then over the course of me painting this thing, first the tape is peeling away. So I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Gaff tape in the cold does not do well.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. Well, in wet snow falling on the sticky side of the gaff tape.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So got that worked out. Got it propped up against a tree after we found the location across from the hotel that we were staying at. It was by this river. It was beautiful.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, I do.
It's behind a convention center.
Yeah, I've walked there multiple times.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And it was great. It was super cool. But throughout the course of me painting this painting, you know, snow's falling on it. And the snow's melting once it hits the paint, hits the canvas. So then my painting just starts dripping. And I was like, this is miserable. What do I was like, we gotta get the final shot quick. So I finished the painting up super quick.
So you're quick.
I probably did it in like 7 minutes.
Wow.
Backed up, had her get the final shot.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, that's it.
It's like, a wash. I hate it.
But that's what we got.
Yeah.
And so then it turned into a snowball fight with her and I until we're like, okay, the snow's packing up. We should probably get going. And she goes, what are you going to do with the painting? Well, it's still wet. I'm not putting that in my car. And so I just left it.
No way.
I just left it. And it got covered up by snow. And the day before we left, we were there for like 3 more days. I went back, beat the snow off of it. And it was kind of cool. Like, it had melted, but it had solidified and dried in places. And so I ended up taking it back with me.
That's cool.
I still haven't. I haven't done anything with it.
Huh.
But it was super, super cool. After that, I kind of came off this place of, like, I've painted 25 paintings in 25 days. And I was exhausted. And I was working full-time still. We just come out of the Christmas season.
And Christmas season's huge for churches. I mean,
Churches were online at this point still. Yep. So it's a little bit easier.
Mm. Well, and that's a good point, is like when churches went online, we shut down.
Yeah.
I was the communications director.
So you had to do everything.
I was the guy.
I was the You're the guy to figure out how to live stream.
So, yeah. So not only were you doing this incredible series, but you were also making sure that the biggest part of a year for a church was still holding together during quarantine.
Oh, yeah. Well, and uncertainty during quarantine, too.
Yeah.
But then all that to say, I don't know. Yeah. The explosion happened in Nashville.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, like, I was in Gatlinburg, and we couldn't pay debit or credit most places. We had to pay cash, which was our biggest headache. But back at church, like, they didn't have internet. And so it was nuts, man. It was nuts. And so they're kind of handling that. There's really nothing that I could do
where I was.
And I have a great team under me who, like, handled live stream great.
They
recorded it and was able to post it later. But,
yeah,
dude, it was bonkers.
What a wild few days there.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
State bombing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was insane. But during quarantine, I was like the guy, and they made jokes in the pastoral staff. They're like, yeah, you're the pastor now. Like, have fun with this, because I was running more than I felt like the pastors were at the time, because they're like, what do we do? What can we do? And I'm like, dude, whip out your phone and record a devotional.
Yeah.
And post it, and we'll repost it.
Yeah.
Just finding ways that they could connect with their congregation, similar to how they would in person, except online.
Yeah.
And just putting as much power in their hands as possible. But I ended up upgrading our live stream system, because we had, have you heard of Mevo cameras?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They're like GoPros, right?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
They're not great. They're very grainy. that's what we had. They had just purchased that system when I came in. And so I came into that, and they wanted to wait till like our contract ended with live stream to upgrade.
Sure.
So during quarantine, I got the green light. He's like, okay, let's get some new equipment. And so, through some research and talking to some of my friends that are in the production industry, we went with Blackmagic, went with the 4K studios. It was great. Got the ATEM, and
that's an upgrade.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, that is a night and day difference.
Because Mevo, do they do wireless systems?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Blackmagic, you wire it up.
SDI.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a world of difference, man. No lag. It was pretty great. I did include like a wireless system so we could have somebody holding a camera up on stage and getting that stuff.
Yeah.
I was kind of the guy. I was the guy creating and posting and updating, and I hate talking in front of the camera. Well, now it's fine, but before I hated it with a passion. But like, I kind of had to do the announcements, especially when we were working from home.
Mm.
I was the one with the equipment, and nobody could come into my home.
You're like, why did I take this home? You should have taken this home.
Exactly. I got this Ursa Mini in my house, and like, you're going to use it.
You're like, you can either use the iPhone and they do it, or the Ursa Mini and you do it. You're like, I know it's going to look better on the Ursa Mini, so I'll do it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And like, I have some studio lights. I have some GVMs that work at my house. I didn't have like a giant softbox or anything like that.
But,
so I got comfortable in front of the camera, was doing all the updates and whatnot. And so that plus me trying to do this thing every single day with painting, I kind of hate the word burnout, because I feel like it's thrown out a lot.
It's probably very appropriate for the situation.
Yeah, I definitely felt burnout, man. And I was burning the candle at both ends. And so I kind of had to take a step back and reevaluate. And I feel like I have been in that place all of 2021.
Yeah.
I hopped back on the train a couple times. I've gotten to work with some amazing brands. I got to work with Urban Decay and Prince for something a couple months ago, which was phenomenal. But like, it's been on and off, and I feel like I've just now found a way for this to be sustainable.
Yeah.
And for me to shoot for it again. And so kind of in that place, that's why I said I was at a crossroads.
Yeah.
Because here in the next couple months, I'm actually going to be transitioning out of my job.
Sure.
Full time. And this is the scary part, just going full time into artwork. I was going to try and look for another full time job that might have gave me more free time, stuff like that. But after like mulling it over and thinking about it, like, unless I give this my all, And I don't know how you feel about Gary Vee, but it's something that he has said multiple times.
You're looking at people who've watched a lot of Gary Vee.
Hey, there we go. There we go. If you don't give it your all, it's not going to succeed. Like, it's never going to have a chance if I don't just dive headfirst and give it my 24/7, all of my attention. And it's where my heart's at. Like,
yeah.
I've learned how to do video editing and video production and photography for this job, but it's not necessarily my passion.
Sure.
Yeah. And my passion has taken a backseat for the past 6 months because I don't want to burn myself out again.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to, in the next couple months, as someone else transitions into my role and I transition out, I'm just going to go for it, man.
Are you excited that places are opening back up for live performances? Have you been able to get back on stage?
I have. I got back on stage, I think, November of last year.
Oh, great.
When things opened back up in Florida, I got to celebrate a pastor who was celebrating, what was it? I think 30 years in ministry.
Oh, wow. Well. Awesome.
Yeah. Super dope. And so I painted him and his wife as like a celebratory thing. And then nothing for a while. But now I'm in talks with people who want me to come to their schools and do like a, what do you call it? Like a school assembly.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like a rally or something.
Yeah.
I got a call yesterday about a woman wanting me to do her daughter's quinceañera.
Wow.
That would be sick.
Man. Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of these opportunities are opening back up. I'm traveling to Florida. I'm painting at a church at the end of August in 2 weeks. So yeah, those things are opening back up, which is nice. And I got past the like humble but like weird prideful thing in me that kind of was just waiting for opportunities to land in my lap. And I'm seeking those opportunities out now, like cold calling and emailing places.
That's
and,
awesome.
And trying to find that. So
that's really cool.
It is.
How did social media, particularly TikTok, how did that change your view of what's possible with art?
That's a great question. I don't think I've ever thought that through. Like, obviously, TikTok made a lot of things possible for me in my kind of art form.
Because I think it's just changed everything.
It has.
I think in a really good way because like, we get to discover things that we never saw before.
Yes. And I think it's TikTok's in a weird place where it's kind of coming away from that to a degree.
Uh-huh.
And you're seeing a lot more ads. You're seeing a lot more, curated content that.
They realize how much Facebook was making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. And they're pushing lives, which I think is great.
Yes.
But it for the longest time, I'd say for its first 2 or 3 years, it was so organic. It was stupid. I mean, you get the right hashtags, you get the right content and the right algorithms.
Yeah.
And it's going to blow up. Like if you make good content, it's gonna have a shot. I think it's a lot harder now because the market's so saturated and it blew up so quickly during the pandemic. But it definitely made it possible for, I'll go back to Instagram because that's kind of, at the end of my high school career, Instagram was it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And so at first, and I feel foolish now, I thought it was just a photo editing program. I thought it was a photo editing app.
At the time, it was like, it was something new.
Yeah.
It was, you put your photos on there. It looks like it came out of a weird colored printer with all the filters that they had on there.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Going back and looking at everybody's like first Instagram photos is some of the funnest things you can ever do.
Oh, it's so funny.
Even my own, I'm like, why did I do this?
Yeah.
What was I thinking?
I go through my Instagram all the time and delete my photos.
Do you delete or archive?
I delete.
Gone forever.
They're gone forever.
See ya later.
Wow.
Because it's on my computer somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some of mine that are just on Instagram that I just archive.
But it is, I mean, Instagram, even their CEO the other couple weeks ago was like, we're no longer a video platform. We're no longer a photo app. So it is a very interesting time to be in that world where you're having to constantly follow what's going on.
It's cool because I saw that switch happen. In my role as a communication instructor, I was watching how churches were doing things.
Yep.
And the stuff that was coming across our church's Instagram's feed wasn't photos of pastors anymore. It wasn't photos of people smiling anymore.
It was clips.
It was clips.
Yeah.
It was quotes. And I was like, yo, we need to transition from photo to video.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in like year one or two for me at the church. And so then taking that to my artwork, I had to figure that out too. I hated filming myself. I hated filming my process because I thought the process was ugly. And turns out people love it. They love watching the process. But then to make that process palatable to people in a short format, because when I started out on TikTok, I think you had 15 seconds. And then they did 30 seconds. And then a minute. And now it's 3 minutes.
And now it's going to be 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's similar to what Instagram has done. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But so for Instagram, I think my struggle was you were kind of blocked. If you didn't get to Instagram early as a creator and as an artist, you didn't make it. Or if you didn't pay for some page to feature your stuff, again, you didn't make it. It was very similar in the photo genre on Instagram, which is kind of how Instagram started. Like, it was for photographers.
Photographers have invested their lives into Instagram.
Yeah, dude.
And Instagram's like, bye.
Yep. Well, and then they tried to transition to TikTok with high-quality content, and for the longest time, TikTok was like, nah, screw that. Like, get your high-def cameras out of here. We want phone screens.
Yeah.
And so I felt blocked in the Instagram world. So when TikTok opened up, I was like, okay, this is my shot. So I started posting videos over there mainly, and then would post photos afterwards of my artwork on Instagram. And I was kind of doing that dual posting thing. But then when I saw stuff blowing up and like me getting views that I couldn't even imagine getting on Instagram, it did change the game. It did, because it opened up a world of possibilities where I felt like there was a gate on Instagram. It was just wide open for me on TikTok. So that did change things for me as an artist.
How has your faith influenced your artwork?
That's a great question too. I think it's influenced my artwork in ways, and I think my artwork has influenced my faith in ways. And by that, I mean, like, I've kind of discovered things about myself through painting. I think I told you the guys this before. Like, I'm not a confident speaker. I don't like the way I talk. I feel like it's very monotone. And so I feel like I speak better by painting. I feel like I speak better by doing artwork or conceptualizing things and putting that out into the world, or doing a video montage to a song that I feel like speaks the story better than I could. And so I feel like I've discovered a lot of myself by painting, where I didn't have the words to kind of describe what I was feeling or whatever. And so in that way, like, my spiritual journey, my journey with God and going through the Christian world growing up, obviously I come with a lot of knowledge, Bible knowledge, and then being a theology major or minor. I was a major, then I dropped to a minor. but having that knowledge, it's influenced my artwork. I think because a lot of what I want to speak to people is through the lens of a real human experience who's walking life as a human, not somebody who's living like above the clouds, which I think is the image that a lot of people get of Christians. And it's another reason why I don't like saying that I'm a Christian, because that could have really bad connotations to some people who've been hurt by the church. And there's a lot of hypocritical Christians. I'm one of them. I think we all are. And so I like to say that I'm in a relationship with Christ. And I have that relationship with him, just because I feel like I turn a lot of people off by saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. Because they immediately have this cookie cutter version in their head of what I could be.
Sure.
And so through that journey, I want to kind of not only project my experience of walking with Christ and struggling with life and everything else that I've struggled with, depression and anxiety, but also like showing people who Christ is despite all of what I am and am not. And I think a lot of my artwork comes from that lens, whether consciously or subconsciously.
One of your favorite paintings, like one of my favorite, your painting that's my favorite.
Yeah.
Is, I don't know if it's, this is like a self portrait, but I believe there was like a blue bandana around the guy's eyes and it says lonely.
Yeah. Yeah. The lonely painting.
That one's powerful, man.
Yeah. It was a self portrait and I didn't think it looked like myself. And I think it was, I had painted that before the pandemic had started. And I had it still stretched sitting in a corner because I didn't like it. So I was trying to figure out what to do with it. Usually if I don't like a painting, I just paint it black and then it gets turned into something else. But I liked the feeling behind it. I liked the blue tones.
Oh, the blue and the, yeah.
The teals and the grays and like, I really loved that and the drips that I had coming off from the spray paint that I used. And so I kind of didn't want to destroy it, but I hated it at the same time. Mm. So then during quarantine, I did feel super lonely, and especially having all the responsibility and weight on me from my job, I felt like I was only viewed as the value that I brought to the table at that time, and not as me. Nobody was ever, which sounds bad, but like it didn't seem like people were checking up on me. Mm. It didn't seem like people from my workplace, from my community were seeing how I was. It was just like, hey, do you have this done? Hey, can we get this? Okay, cool. And whether that was true or that's my version of what was true at the time, because I was looking for more, I was looking for more affirmation, whatever. I felt super lonely. I was, 14 hours away from my parents because they're down in Florida, quarantined. My sister's down with them, quarantined.
What a fun place to be during quarantine.
Yeah, exactly.
you got a beach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. And so, I don't know. I felt super lonely. And so that's kind of just what came out. I was like, I want to do something with this painting. And so I painted over the eyes and drew the lonely out in that like English script. And I was like, I feel like this is done now. Like this painting's complete. And then posted it. And that resonated with a crap ton of people.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was one of the first times I had actually painted a feeling that I just put out there into the world. I'd painted feelings before and then just kind of tucked them away. I posted one on Instagram that was the result of a breakup at one point in time. But other than that, a lot of my paintings had been influenced by music and culture. Hmm. And like I said, by my experience. But this was like, I'm gonna put this feeling on this canvas. And it resonated with a lot of people. And that's actually kind of where I'm at now. Hmm. It's going to sound bad, but I'm kind of over the pop portraits. I'm over painting other people who are famous or artists or whatever. It would be different. And this is kind of my goal. So I'll probably keep doing them. I would love to paint an artist while they're singing their song on stage next to them.
That'd be cool.
That would be sick.
Yeah. Nashville's the place for it.
Nashville is the place.
Exactly. And so I would love that, but just painting for views, as much as it feels like I have to do that at times, I'm kind of over it. I'm ready to paint like what's in here.
Yeah.
I'm ready to paint what inspires me. These things that I get in my head when I listen to certain songs, or I go through certain things and I just sketch it out, or I type something up in my notes that I think would be dope because of something I've experienced or a conversation I've had. I'm ready to paint that kind of stuff and put my energy into that.
I'm ready to see those series.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah.
Now that takes a lot more work.
Sure.
But I'm about to have a lot of time on my hands for that.
Right.
And so I'm super ready to kind of just open my heart up and let the world in. It's scary because it can get rejected, but I think I've dealt with enough rejection of my work and of who I am throughout the course of the past three and a half years in my adult life that I'm ready for that. Yeah.
What do you think, kind of going along those lines, what do you think has been one of the most impactful things that has come from one of your paintings, whether it's a story that somebody told you from looking at your painting or just an experience that you've had? What has been something that's been super impactful?
I'm trying to pinpoint something specifically. I think the Lonely Painting and the Hope Painting, those have been the ones that I've gotten the most feedback off of. Like, people will buy a print of it and then email me separately and be like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, when I saw this painting, I saw you, it was either I did it live or they saw the video. They're like, this was exactly where I was at. Mm. And this was exactly what I needed to see and hear. And I'm buying this as a reminder of this season that, like, I'm not alone. I can do it. I can make it through. I've gotten multiple messages like that before, which I think those get me. Because it's like, yeah, here's something that I think speaks to me. And you can see the likes, you can see the comments, whatever. But when somebody takes the time to email me personally and to buy, like, a version of the piece, a print of the piece, and then to tell me that, like, it's hanging on their wall, not just because they think it's dope, but because it actually spoke to them, like, it struck a chord. That has gotten me. I think I'm going to try not to get emotional. I was reached out to by a father of a son who had brain cancer. And you might have seen this one. This was in my early days on TikTok. And he wanted a painting done of his son because his son wasn't given much time to live. So worked with him. I got people to fund the artwork through GoFundMe, like, cover the cost of materials and shipping and all of that. Did the painting. I cried during that painting, because, I mean, I was praying for the kid during the painting. I was praying for the family during the painting. I had worship music playing at some point. Like, it was more than just a painting. It was like standing with this family in the pain and the hurt and with empathy, everything that they have been through, everything that they might go through.
Those grieving of those who grieve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I sent the painting. I got a video from them of the little boy seeing the painting for the first time and getting excited, saying, that's me. And then the little boy ended up passing away earlier this year. And when I saw that, it broke me. It, like, because it's almost like I had felt with them. I had kind of, I don't know, my heart felt connected to them at this point, which sounds weird to a degree, but it's like, I feel like my artwork has done that. And then later they posted a picture of my painting and was like, this is the best painting that we have in our home. Like, we value and love this so much. I don't know what the exact wording was, but like the post signified the fact that they valued that, because it's a reminder of who their son was. And that was nuts. That sticks out to me more than anything. And it's like, after that painting, I got connected with so many other kids who had brain cancer and were going through that. We're getting treated for that. And it was like so emotionally weighty. I think I painted three kids throughout the course of a few months. And one of them passed away the day after I posted the video.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know, me being ignorant, like, I didn't know child brain cancer. I knew it was a thing, but it's like seeing the lives that are affected and seeing how widespread childhood brain cancer is, it, like, I don't know. It's something that I am now going to preach, I think, for the rest of my life. Like, this is a thing, and these kids need treatment, and they need help, and sometimes there's not enough medicine in the world that can help them, and the families need support and love and to be seen and cared for. Because they're at a breaking point, probably 24/7, not knowing if they're going to wake up and their child doesn't wake up. Like, that's the reality for them. And so living every single moment as if it's last, but also trying to find a cure. And it's like, how do you not just crumble under the weight of that kind of, I don't know, desperation in humanity? Like, it's out of your hands. It's out of your control to a degree, but you're trying to control as much as you can. And so I think that painting, those three kids that I've kind of made a connection with through my artwork, is probably the biggest thing that has happened since all of this has happened last year.
Yeah. I saw also that you're kind of raising money for the Alzheimer's Association.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing with that?
Through the Alzheimer's Association, my great grandfather had Alzheimer's, and I met him, oddly enough. And it was weird because I didn't understand what was happening at the time.
Sure.
I went in, I think he was in a hospice. He was in a hospital bed, and I went in with my dad. I had never met the man in my life.
Mm.
I just remember him like repeating himself, and like I introduced myself, and then he didn't know who I was.
Sure.
I think that was my first experience with Alzheimer's. Since then, I've seen family members and then close friends of mine who've really been affected by Alzheimer's. Like, you see memory slipping. And again, it's one of those things that you can't do anything about it.
Right.
And so it's like when I was trying to choose a cause, and my sister being in an OTA, she's worked with a lot of geriatrics who suffer from Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, that was probably the most tolling thing on her emotionally when she was going through school. And she ended up going with peds outside of school. But when she was going through school, she had to do geriatrics and peds. And so working with older people who had Alzheimer's, she's like, you don't see progress. You're really there to sustain. And you might see some progress, you know, in the ways of like muscular things. But as far as memory retention goes, like, it's kind of a lost cause.
Yeah.
And so bringing as much value to people in their last years of life, as you see them fading away, I don't know. It's again, one of those things that like, what can we do? And whatever we can do, I want to at least be a hand that is able to transfer the power to.
Mm. Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool. Well,
I think that's a good place to
right there. Yeah. I think that's fantastic. I appreciate everything that you're doing. I think, you know, this is the first time that you and I have met, that I think we've all met.
Yeah, this is the first time we've all met.
In person. Yeah.
Outside of Instagram.
Yeah, games. Outside of the Instagram world. And I love what you're doing.
Thanks, man.
I'm looking forward to see what you have going on down the road. Where can people follow you?
On
TikTok, wherever you want to throw it out.
Sure. So TikTok, at Siegel Arts, SIGELARTS. Instagram is going to be the same for artwork. If you're into photography and you just want to see me just post stupid stuff on my stories, at Justin Siegel is that page. And then I also have a YouTube account that's going to be popping off soon, because I'm going to try to focus more on long form content.
So you're going to shoot with a camera vertical and a camera horizontal?
No, I'll probably shoot with a camera horizontal and then your phone into vertical.
The problem that everybody has now, vertical and horizontal.
Yeah, exactly. I've actually shot most of my like high quality TikToks that you've seen.
Yeah.
I've shot horizontal and then just cropped it.
That's great.
Love that.
That's great.
Because
then you could dual purpose your content.
You can dual purpose, baby. That's what it's all about. YouTube is Siegel Arts as well.
Love it.
And then I have a website where I sell merch and prints and original artwork. You can also reach out to me with commissions there, siegelarts.com.
Awesome. We can't wait to get one of your mugs in here. I saw
you
have mugs.
Let's go.
We're going to get some mugs in here. And funny enough, Horn Coffee. You brought in some Horn Coffee today as well.
I just
decided to use this mug today. So
is it the best chai you've had in Nashville?
It honestly is. Yeah. It blows everybody else out of the water. So
awesome.
Somebody's calling me right at the end.
There you go. Good place to end it. Justin, I appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. This was a blast.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And that was Justin Siegel. Make sure to go follow him on social media and support him as an artist. Go buy one of his prints.
That would be really cool to see you guys support him in such a cool way. Thank you for listening. And if you watch this video, especially on YouTube, we are starting to do more videos with our podcast starting here in just a few weeks. So make sure so you don't miss anything. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, xplr.nash. We're doing a lot of things on there. And so make sure you turn on notifications and you subscribe. We're trying to reach that 5,000 goal. We don't know why, because we're just going to make another goal after that. But trying to reach that 5,000 goal right now.
Also, you can follow us on Instagram because we're trying to hit that 10,000 goal on Instagram, xplr.nash.
So we hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you on Monday.